Hi there, many thanks for joining us on the podcast brought to you by Tote Fantasy. It's Bruce Millington, joined by Graham Rodway, and making a welcome podcast return, Richard Birch. Plus, we've got Tote Fantasy Jamie Benson. Great show coming up. The start of the turf flat season. Plenty of people, including producer Sam, absolutely champing at the bit for the start of that. Big fields at Donny. We've got the Lincoln. See what the lads make of that. Also got three races on the flat at Kempton. The joint second favourite for the Derby runs on Sunday in Ireland. We'll see what the boys fancy there. I think Birchie's promised us a good thing at Ascot on Sunday. Then we'll have a crack at solving the Tote Fantasy puzzle, see if we can step up on our miserable recent efforts, and we'll get the naps. So we'll crack on with Doncaster. Four races on ITV on the main channel Saturday, starting with the 150, the first race of the 2023 flat season. And of course, it's the Brocklesby, sponsored by Potemps. Potemps sponsor a jumps race at the festival, which is extremely hard to solve. This one's generally pretty hard to solve as well, because none of them have ever run. Two-year-olds over five furlongs, no fewer than 17 runners. The going is currently soft, but the forecast is dreadful. So I think you will not go far wrong if you work on the basis that it's going to be heavy. We've got a fairly short price favourite. Valadero, 13-8. Loaded Gun is 9-2. 11-2 Indication Call, 11 bar. A good one won this last year. Persian Force. Will we get a good one this year? And who will it be? Birchie, excited for the flat?
Yeah, I love the start of the flat. Always remember up until a few years ago, I never ever missed the first race. It used to be on a Thursday. It used to be a mile and a half apprentice handicap. I remember Reg Akers won it one year with Barish, and I had a nice touch.
Excellent.
It's a bit different now because it's a two-day meeting, Saturday and Sunday. But no, you always want to crack on with the year, don't you? And I love the flat, so here we go. Brocklesby. Well, you either love, as a punter, you either love this race or you loathe it. If you're a trainer, it puts you, you've got a cracking opportunity of putting yourself in the headlines for about a day. Obviously, because it's the first race of the new campaign. It's a 35 grand race. It's well worth winning. And I say, if you do win it, you get a lot of publicity. So without a mature market in front of me, I know no form. I've got no inside information from anyone. So I'm just basically using my common sense. And my common sense tells me that Tom Dascombe was a brilliant trainer 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago. Won group races, Brown Panther, Michael Owen, all that stuff. Obviously, things went wrong for him a couple of years ago. He had to relocate. He's rebuilding his career again. 79 winners in 2012, only 8 last year. Now, he's got a horse in this race called Old Chums. If Old Chums wins, he gets that welcome publicity. And the horse is bred to be speedy. It's bred to go on the ground. It ticks quite a lot of the boxes when you're looking at it. So I've got a hunch Tom Dascombe's got Old Chums ready, and I'm gonna go with him.
Nice one, Birchie. 14-1. I saw Tom Dascombe at Cheltenham, and he said things are going okay. He obviously wants more horses, but I think he said he's got 30. So maybe the good times are going to come back for Dascombe, starting with Old Chums in the Brocklesby. That's an interesting tip. G-Rod, how fired up are you for the flat?
Yeah, really enjoy the flat, Bruce. Actually, more so now, I think, than I ever did. You know, I was always a big jumps man myself. But, nowadays, the jumps is a lot of the time so uncompetitive. I can't wait for big field races to come back. And I think you can almost be guaranteed those during the flat season, of course. And, we've got one of the big ones on the opening day, haven't we? The Lincoln later on. But, I'm looking forward to it. And from a punting perspective as well, I've always had a bit more success on the flat than I do on the jumps, even though I'm more of a jumps man, which is strange. Anyway, this is a great race to start off with, isn't it, Bruce? I mean, you could have turned around to me and threw me a more difficult race. I don't think you could have found one. No form to go on. Complete guess, isn't it? I mean, the favourite's trained by Dominic French Davis. I think he's had 6 2-year-old winners in the last 5 years, you know, so and this is 13-8. Now, of course, he won't have had anything from Ammo Racing, probably. And this is obviously expected to be a lot better than anything that Dominic French Davis has had before. But I don't know if I want to be taking such a short price on something trained by him at the head of the market. Just on a complete guess, similar to Birchie, just a hunch, really. Mullingar Girl is 50-1, I think, in the early odds someone's offering. Mike Murphy and Michael Keady. These two have had one runner at Doncaster since they joined forces, isn't it? One. Mike Murphy on his own in the last five seasons. He's had three runners at Doncaster, one winner and a second, I think. So if you take the four runners, that works out. If I'm doing my maths right, that works out to, I think, two winners out of four and one place. Anyway, it was either second or
third. Did you do maths at Cambridge University? How did you work that one out?
It was a difficult one, I must admit. So I got no idea. Obviously, I've got absolutely no idea how good any of these are. But just on those pure course trainer stats, I thought that Mullingar Girl was worth a bet each way at 50s.
Wow, a very exotic start to the show. Jamie,
I think it'd be easy for Jamie. I think it'd be easy for Jamie actually to put this team together today, because I'm going for some right old outsiders and they won't be worth very much in that Tote Fantasy. So I reckon that we'll be able to have like a bunch of favourites with a couple of outsiders in, and Bob's your uncle, and then we'll win it. Have we ever won it?
No, we're absolutely useless at it. Well, let's switch across to the man himself, Jamie Benson, a man who wears so much tweed, even his Y fronts are tweed. So I think he's a dyed-in-the-wool jumps man. So do you turn your nose up at the flat, or do you get excited at this time of year, Jamie?
No, I do. I do love them both, to be fair. I would originally have been a jumps man, but as I had more and more time to put towards the game, and particularly working with our CEO, Alex Frost, who's a real bloodstock man, learning more and more about the breeding has given me that sort of longevity to the flat game. And no, I do love it as well. I sort of get past Aintree and I go, right, okay, let's get into it. But I do always love this meeting as well, because it reminds me every time I look at it and I go, God, I can't remember any of these horses. And then I start going through it and it all starts coming back to me and I get excited again. So
I know exactly what you mean. Have you managed to suss one then with your newfound bloodstock skills?
Not particularly, because I'm going for a son of Inns of Court, which wouldn't be the most popular stallion going about. But I quite like a bit of a price. Go to Work for David Evans. Old Monday Dave, as he's known by a friend of mine, because he likes winning one on the Monday and then turning it out quickly later in the week again. Go to Work wouldn't be the most obvious horse in this. You know, he's wearing a hood and a tongue tie, just what you want on heavy ground at Donny. Clearly a bit of a head case, but I'm keen enough to take on the front of the market like the lads are with Valadero, for all the reasons laid out. And I think that Ammo Racing precocity angle, getting to win first time out, is probably a bit overbet in the market. So I wouldn't put anyone off taking a flyer, and my flyer just happens to be on Go to Work.
Right, okay, so we've got Go to Work for Jamie at 16-1. Birchie's gone for Old Chums at 14, and G-Rod's trying to hit it out the park with Mullingar Girl at 50s. We're off and running. Let's move on to the 225. Far more familiar names here. It's the Potemps Network Spring Mile, a handicap over, obviously, a mile. 22 runners, no fewer than 22 runners. Shop around, you may well get right up to seven places and you may well need them. This is open. Baltimore Boy, 15-2. And then it's 8-1, Isle of Kye, 9-1, Arthur's Realm and Broken Spear. 10, Dirty Old Town and the Gatekeeper. 11, Bar G-Rod, nice and simple. Who wins?
Yeah, it should be simple. I think Arthur's Realm. One over course and distance on good soft ground. At this meeting last year, might even have been this race, actually. Let's have a look. It was this race. And then recorded his highest Racing Post rating in defeat, again, over the course and distance, on soft ground in September behind Atrium, who I think runs in the Lincoln. So two of his best runs over course and distance on testing ground. He's had one run at Newcastle as a tune-up, I'm sure, after a winter break where he was beaten only a couple of lengths. Nice little prep run. They will almost certainly have had this race back in mind. Yeah, looks straightforward. Arthur's Realm.
How odd would that be, Jared? He won out of stall one last year and he's drawn 22 of 22 this year.
That would be strange. Funny enough, we're talking about the draw because, you know, I mean, I'm sure that some of our readers will have seen the Easy View cards that we're now running on in the Racing Post. Mm. And we just had a healthy debate with the guys that generate the Easy View cards about the scores on the draw. because the easy view is suggesting very strongly that you want to be middle to high. However, Keith and I were pretty convinced you want to be middle to low. So we're having a bit of a steward's inquiry on the data, but I can guarantee you that we'll have that data right when the easy view is published on Saturday.
Well, Gio, the last 5 years, this has been won by stall 6, stall 1, stall 3, stall 21 and stall 1. So I guess virtually the one thing about the flat is the draw bias debates. Now, some people see it as a fascinating part of the puzzle, but I don't know. My heart always sinks when we have to have lengthy ideas about which side it will favour. Do you like a draw bias angle, or do you kind of think, well, you never really know, so you just got to take your chances?
I don't really think they exist anymore. I mean, it sounds ridiculous, but, 10, 15, 20 years ago, watering systems were pretty archaic. And, there was plenty of water would go on one side of the course at Newmarket and not so much on the near side. And, you could always find a strip of ground up the near side rail at Goodwood, which was faster than the middle or the far side. And you could, some famous professional punters made their lifetime savings from sort of identifying things like that. I think watering systems are so much more advanced and better now. I don't really think they produce too many sort of discrepancies and biases. What I would say is the only thing I would say, and I know people, lots of people criticise me for keep going on about this, but why on earth did Doncaster water in January and February? I mean, we've got soft, heavy ground. Everyone's saying it's going to be bottomless tomorrow. But if they were watering in the winter, it's just let the weather take its course. Let nature take its course.
It was dry, though, Birchie. It really was.
It was very dry, but
it was such a dry wind. I never criticise Clarks of the Quad very, very rarely, because I think unless you've done a three-year turf husbandry course, you just don't know. I mean, it's so difficult, mate. I think they're the most over-criticised people. It's very tough.
But I know from the state of my back garden never goes heavy because I don't water it.
And when are the next races in your back garden?
It never goes ludicrously firm either.
When's the next meeting in Birchie's back garden? It's difficult, mate. It's a vast expanse of turf. I'm sure the squirrels enjoy the ground in your garden, but yeah.
Okay. Right, who wins? You don't want to hear about that. You want to hear about who's going to win the spring mile. I've got two at fairly decent prices. I fancy Broken Spear, Love Soft or Heavy Ground. Course winner in 2021. Now he's off the mark of 83. He's now down to 77, and he's got Billy Loughnane taking £5 off.
G-Rod's favourite jockey.
Yeah, Billy the Kid, we like him, Birchie.
This Billy's magnificent, absolutely magnificent.
Great jockey, isn't he?
Oh, he's going to be a star. He's a star. I think he's a star already. He's
How good can he be, Birchie?
Eh?
Can he be proper top division jockey, yeah?
I think he might be. I think he might be. I mean, you see so many. I remember sort of over jumps a few years ago. I said James Bowen was going to be the new AP McCoy. It looks like I got that wrong. And Jack Tudor, I think I said a couple of years ago, I thought he was going to be the new AP McCoy. Maybe there's probably never going to be another AP McCoy. But this boy, I mean, I don't tend to watch too much all weather racing. But whenever I've seen this guy, this kid, he's magnificent. Lovely hands, as they say in the game. Yeah. But anyway, so he takes £5 off Broken Spear. That's a gift. He's had an all-weather prep. He had an all-weather prep run. Finished fifth in the Lincoln at 66-1 last year. He's never won at a mile, but finishing fifth in the Lincoln suggests he stays. So I think he's going to go very, very well. I'll be amazed if he's out the first six or seven. The other one in the race I like, for similar sort of reasons, Harswell Duke, loves soft or heavy ground, had an all-weather prep run, so he's clearly been primed for this race. He's quite well handicapped with Johnny Pete taking £5 off, and he stays particularly well. He's a front runner. I could see him sort of, because he stays further, I could see him sort of getting to the front or being very handy, and then if he could just sort of hit the front two furlongs out, he might be hard to peg back. I mean, it's a very, very competitive race, but I think those two are going to run really well and should be in the first six or seven.
Broken Spear and Harswell Duke, Birchie's two. Jamie, have you got a view on this one?
I quite like one of the big price. I would like Zosimus, but I think the ground's probably gone against him. He was pulled on heavy ground when he was a younger horse. But as a project going forward for David O'Mara, I think he's really interesting, transferred over from Donoghue O'Brien. But the one I'm going for here is a big price. It's Gary Moore's warning sign. He's only run twice in this country, beaten out of sight both times in handicap company, but he's dropped a couple of pounds for that. He won a Toulouse maiden on his first start. That was on heavy ground. Although that mark still looks quite tough, he's 33-1. You know he'll handle conditions. He's drawn low, which I think is the advantage here. I'm going to side with G-Rod on that one. And I just think, you know, that I always like a yard where you know that they've been fully working all winter. And obviously with Gary Moore being a dual purpose yard, there would be no pausing for breath. So I'm sure Warning Sign's been working plenty and will be fit and ready to go, having won first time out as a 2-year-old as well. So yeah, Warning Sign about 33-1 for me.
Thank you very much. The 3 o'clock at Doncaster on Saturday is the Potemps Network Camage Trophy. It's a listed race over 6 furlongs. We've got 12 runners, and the favourite as things stand is El Caballo. And then it's 9-2 Azjad, 9-2 Comanche Falls, 13-2 King's Lynn, 9 Ares, 10 Fast Response, 14 Bar Richard Birch. Who wins the Camage?
Well, racing needs His Majesty the King to be interested in racing, I think. And he's represented by King's Lynn in this race. He's gone close. The horse has gone close first time out in the last 4 seasons. I've got a feeling he'll be primed first time out. Conditions will suit. He likes soft or heavy ground. He's a course and distance winner. He's got really, really solid form in the book. And I think he'll be teed up to win this. So King's Lynn for me.
He might win the Derby this year, of course, the King, with a slip of the pen. You never know. G-Rod, who do you like here in the Camage?
I fancy Azjad. James Horton's another trainer right on the up, isn't he? They're John Dance's man, and used to be with Stout, I think. And I thought this horse was progressing really nicely at the end of last season on soft ground at the course. Won a handicap here, was beaten a short head when a short price favourite for another one on testing ground. It's got sort of form over 7 furlongs, so we know he stays the distance well. And I just thought he was going forward at the right time, the sort of horse that you'll see make up into a group class sprinter this year. And this looks an obvious place to start. You would have thought that James Horton will have had this race in mind, given the horse likes soft ground and has got great form at Doncaster. So, Azjad.
Thank you, G-Rod and Jamie.
Jeez, I'm not doing a good number on agreeing with everyone here. Although we'll have loads of money in our fantasy budget, it'd be great if we're all in agreement. But anyway, I've gone with Comanche Falls here. He's sort of best. He's best at the weights on ratings. Tied with the favourite, but he's a bigger price. He won the Stewards Cup on soft ground off 101. You know, that's phenomenal form. He won on soft at Haydock, and soft at Haydock is bloody soft. We all know that. So I don't think the ground will be an issue. He's won 3 of his 4 starts first time out. And I think he's just looks a rock solid proposition for me at 9-2.
Thank you very much, Jamie. Right, let's jump on to the big race of the day. 3:35 at Doncaster on Saturday, the Potemps Network Lincoln handicap over a mile, 22 runners. 77 grand to the winner, and that prize money boost has ensured a really cracking field. Let's get the each way terms news. Yeah, I can see some 7 places, pretty much everyone's 6, some 5. So as we always say, don't just shop around for the best price, but also the best place terms. And the best place to find that is on the racingpost.com race cards, where you just click on the button and up come all the prices and all the place terms. And the card shows that Al Mubir is the 9-2 favourite for William Haggas. Arwell for the Crisfords is 5-1. Those two at the head of the market. Baradar 9-1, Wanese 9-1, Atrium 12, Montasib 12, Jimi Hendrix 14, along with Majestic. Migration is 16, and it's 18 bar. G-Rod, are you a Lincoln expert down the years?
No, I mean, I love the race. I love to watch it, but I can't say I've had too many winners of it. The Haggis horses are obviously the two to beat, aren't they? I think certainly Alma Pier looks the right favourite. He obviously won the Lincoln, didn't he, William Haggis, the Irish Lincolnshire last week with Latam. So you would have thought that he probably saved horses better than that Latam to come and run in this one. You would have thought, given it's now Lincoln and he's got two in it, I think they're both going to run well. But there's no value for me in backing the favourite Alma Pier at 9-2 in this race. And I've got an absolute wild one for you, Bruce.
Oh, here we go.
The complete outsider of the field, I think, has got a huge price. Is a huge price. Revich. This horse is really winning. He's 7 years old. He's totally exposed, but he runs this track really well. I mean, he was sixth behind Hakiki a couple of years ago in the race, off a £3 higher mark than this. And he got a really good record in strongly run big field handicaps. And he goes well fresh. Last year, he finished third behind Orban in that absolutely red hot race. The Golden Mile handicapper to Goodwood. He was 66 to 1 that day, and he finished third behind, Orban and what was the other horse? Blue For You, wasn't it? The one that came out and won again afterwards. And there was a bunch of good horses in that race. That was after a short break. He was a massive price. I think that he's a good horse on soft ground. It was good to firm that day at Goodwood when he was beaten 3.5 lengths. He was running off 96. He's running off 93. I mean, a lot of his best form is on good to soft ground. Now, whether he'll go on heavy, obviously, is a bit of a guess. But I do remember him, I think, winning a race at Ayr a couple of years ago on with plenty of cut in the ground. I don't know. I just think he's well handicapped. He's drawn low. Could go well at a massive price. You're going to have loads of firms offering good place terms. I'm not saying he's going to win. Obviously, he's massively exposed in comparison to the favourites. He'll probably find maybe three or four too good, but I'm not sure he'll find many more than that too good. And there's a good chance he'll finish in the first six, which will get you the place money. And who knows if there's an absolute wild mess up, something ridiculous could happen, and maybe he'll even win.
While you were making the case of Revich, I got a text message from Birchie saying, I know it's April Fool's Day, but is Graham Rodway taking the mickey here? What do you make of that tip, Birchie?
What did he say? Sorry, I missed that.
What, you missed the whole lot?
No, what Revich, did you say? Sorry, yes.
Revich, 66 to 1. What do you think? That's a polite, terrible tip, isn't it?
Well, it's a Well, G-Rod's got a great record with outsiders, so I can't argue with him. It wasn't on my radar.
I take it you're looking this is an
incredibly difficult handicap. I can't remember ever backing the winner of the Lincoln. I think I've tipped the winner once, back in the early 1990s. I think it was a long, long time ago. But it's a very, very, very difficult race to solve.
Can I tell you a quick story, Birchie? When I was 17, my very first job, I worked at Mecca Bookmakers in their credit office. Okay, it was where before telebetting, all the credit accounts would ring up and have their bets. And I was the board marker and I office junior and all that kind of stuff. But you would always get people ringing in around about sort of February, March. Yeah. Asking for anti-post prices on the Lincoln. And there were three horses that stood out. Saving Mercy, I can't remember the other two. But all you'd ever get is the people answering the phone and shout across to the trader saying, Saving Mercy for the Lincoln, something for Lincoln. And those three horses, they just stuck in my head. And I had the tri-cast and they finished 1, 2 and 3. So I've got a great affinity with the Lincoln. Unfortunately, I've given it all back and more since then. But
Saving Mercy.
When you're a kid, mate, and you something like that happens, I mean, how can you not love betting?
Yeah, I know, absolutely, absolutely. We all get up through something like that. Right, well, I'm going to go for Majestic. I think it's a fiendishly difficult race, but Majestic won the Cambridgeshire. It was only his eighth run of his career. He found a huge jolt of improvement to win the race. He's gone up in the weights, but I'm told, I spoke to Jack Shannon, his trainer, this morning. He says that the horse has improved over the winter. Shannon Stable simply couldn't be in any better form. His last three winners, he's had two winners. The other one was beaten a nose in second. Thing I like about Majestic is, although he's not totally proven on bottomless ground, he does stay a mile and a quarter very well, as he showed in the Cambridgeshire. You're going to need stamina to win this Lincoln. And I could just see he's off a low weight. I could see him being very strong at the finish. It's a big, big season, like I was talking about at the start of the show Tom Dascombe in the first. Mm. It's a big, big season for Jack Shannon. I mean, the stable won the Lincoln last year with Johan. It will put his name in lights for the start of this season. I think Majestic's going to be 100% ready to win this race. I think he'll run very well.
Jack Channon seems like an interesting guy. Birchie, obviously, for many years, part of your role has been ringing around the trainers and getting the quotes. I bet he's a really interesting guy to speak to, isn't he?
He's extremely nice and polite, and you can have a laugh and a joke with him. And I really hope he does really well as a trainer in his own right. I think it's pretty obvious he's been an integral cog in that yard's success for the last sort of few, well, maybe the last 10 years, I suppose.
And it's fair to say, Birchie, they're not all like that when you ring them up, are they?
No, they aren't. No, they aren't. There are plenty who you absolutely dread ringing. But whenever you're ringing Jack Shannon or Mick Shannon, I used to love talking to Mick. But when you ring Jack Shannon, you know you're going to have a nice, polite conversation. You're going to ask him questions. He's going to tell you he's going to tell you the truth, and you're going to have a pleasant 2 minutes.
Brilliant, good stuff. Long may he succeed. Right then, Jamie, who wins the Lincoln?
Jeez, who wins it? Good question. I mean, my two against the field. The one set of shorter prices that I would side with would be Baradar. He won here in November on heavy ground. First time out for George Bowie. This is the second start for that yard. He's £4 higher. You've got to think he'll be bang there. But my main fancy, actually, a bigger price would be Bo Pedro. He was second to Totally Charming. And Totally Charming obviously went off as fab for the, or just about near enough fab for the Irish Lincoln. He was only beaten two and a bit lengths there into seventh. He was up £8 for that victory over Bo Pedro. Bo Pedro is only £1 higher. That was in October on heavy ground at Donny. Like, that's rock solid. He's only £1 higher for that, like I say. He won back in the day for Jesse Arrington. He won the Irish Cambridgeshire of 94. He's running off 97 here. He was third in the Premier Handicap at Leopardstown of 103. All his form points to 97 being a winning mark for him. And he's got the form in the book at Donny on heavy ground. I think he's rock solid at around 20-1 for David O'Mara, the handicap master.
Four races at Doncaster, about 18 tips. Good luck getting the Tote Fantasy team out of that lot. Let's see if there's a bit more unity at Kempton.
Tote Fantasy, proudly sponsoring the Racing Postcast. Daily fantasy racing with real cash prizes up for grabs. A cross between fantasy football and the play spot. Who's in your stable? Visit tote.co.uk/fantasy to find out more. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back to the Postcast. Bruce Millington, Richard Birch, Graham Rodway and Tote Fantasy's Jamie Benson. We've done the four TV races on Saturday at Donny. Now let's do the three that are being shown by ITV at Kempton, kicking off with the 205. The Unibet More Extra Place Races Magnolia Stakes. A listed race over 1 mile, 2 furlongs, 7 runners. On the all-weather, Secret State is fav at 7-4 and then it's 9-2 Phantom Flight. 11-2 Fox's Tail, 6 Tyrrhenian Sea, 7 Bellocchio and 20 Bar. And Birchie, it's your go to go first.
Okay. Secret State has no all-weather form and he's a short price. He could be a big improver, but I'm swerving him. There's nothing between Fox's Tails and Tyrrhenian Sea on Lingfield form behind Lord North. That's obviously good form, but I say there's nothing between them. Neither of them appear to be special. Bellocchio is 3 wins from 3 starts on the all-weather. All three of those were at Kempton. Career best last time out. I know he's got to give £3 away, but he's improving. There's more to come from him. I think he's the value.
Classic Richard Birch, G-Rod. See, just clear, concise, just superb. How can you not listen to that and think, wow, I've got to have a bet on Bellocchio? Follow that.
Yeah, it was brilliant, wasn't it? I actually had a really good close look at Bellocchio because, like Birchie, this favourite is eminently opposable, isn't he? You look at him and you think, yeah, no weather form, well beaten last time out, a short price, Ascot, coming off a long break, being gelded. Yeah, I'll get you beat. And then you look at the field and there's some really good horses in against him as well. This Phantom Flight is one of the most exciting horses for the season going ahead for James Horton, I've already mentioned. I mean, he would have given New London something to think about in a hot handicap at the July course last year at Newmarket had he got a clear run. He just got an absolutely atrocious run through. And then he went on to bolt up in a race at York's Ebor meeting. And then he went off a hot favourite for the, I think it was Doonside Cup, and he just didn't run any race. Guess he must have been over the top. Now, he is a really exciting horse for the season ahead. I've got one worry with Phantom Fly, and that is he's a big galloping type of horse, and this is a sharp right-handed all-weather track, so I just can't back him around here. But I mean, keep him on side. I made it like Birchie between Bellocchio and Tyrrhenian Sea, but I came down on Tyrrhenian Sea, who was obviously second behind Lord North at Lingfield last time out. He's got a great record on the all-weather. He's lightly raced for a five-year-old. He's only had 10 starts. He's unexposed over a mile and a quarter. Yeah, it was only, you think, his second or third run over a mile and a quarter last time behind Lord North. It was the first time that he really proved that he stays the trip. He's had one run at Kempton, which looked disappointing on the face of it, but I went back and watched it and literally found every bit of trouble going and might have won with a clear run. He just looks like he's open to improvement. So I just came down on the other side to Birchie on Tyrrhenian Sea, but I can certainly see his case for Bellocciano.
Very interesting analysis there, chaps. The 240 at Kempton is the Tri-Unibet's improved bet builder handicap. Over a mile, 12 runners. Open affair. 5-1 fav right now is Naval Commander. Excuse me. 11-2, Al Marmar. 6 Brains. 6 Million Thanks. 8 Stately Home and 14 Bar. And G-Rod, you can go first.
Yeah, I thought it was worth taking a chance on my mate Ted at a massive price. Well, not massive price, but a big old price. Produced his career best effort over course and distance last season when he won impressively in a handicap. Then he came out and ran in the final of this series, the London Mile series, finished eighth, but he wasn't beaten that far. He's only beaten like 3-odd lengths. It wasn't an anywhere near as bad a run as an eighth would look. He's had 3 runs back on turf since. He ran all right at Windsor a couple of starts ago. He's been gelded since his last run. He's coming in off a long break, Roger Teal. I can't believe that he won't have had this in mind, you know, knowing that he's all of his best runs are at Kempton. He's only £3 higher than his last win. Yeah, just a big price. And I didn't like a lot of those at the top of the market. So my mate Ted for me.
Thank you. Richard Birch.
I like Joanna Mason as a jockey. I think she's very good on a day-to-day basis. She rides Stately Home, whose last 3 Kempton runs have produced form figures of 3-3-1 at this trip of a mile. Well-drawn, low, going the right way. I think he'll run a big race.
Poor old Jamie's having to sit Kempton out while he tries to work out what the fantasy team's going to look like, given you two don't agree on anything.
I mean, the good news is the budget won't be an issue. But...
Well, no, that's right. I mean, we can afford to splash out on one or two. I think the rate we're going right then. 3:15 Kempton, 2 miles is the trip for the Unibet Queen's Prize. It's a handicap, and we've got 6 runners, and Aztec Empire is your fav. 7-4, and then Bandinelli 4-1, Duty of Care 5, Ace Dip 7, Bascule 8, Sleeping Lion 11. Richard Birch, what have you got for us here?
I've got a feeling we might agree on this race. Aztec Empire, 2 from 2 at Kempton, only the 6th run of his career, so plenty more to come. Still unexposed as a stayer, only 1 run at 2 miles. Looked absolutely tailor-made for this race when beating Withhold. You know, a very good horse in his day over the course and distance last time. He's the most progressive horse in the field and he gets weight from all bar one of his rivals. Enough said, I think he'll win.
Don't let us down, G-Rod.
No, I'm afraid I don't agree. No, I mean, he's obviously got a very good chance, but they were just the 2 outsiders of the field I caught my eye at good prices. And the one that I like is Sleeping Lion. Now, I think this horse would go very, very close if he were guaranteed to get a pace. That's my only concern, is we've got a small 6-runner field. If they dawdle round, he won't win because he needs them to go a good gallop. But the times that I've sat there, Bruce, and someone said to me, or someone on the TV said, there's no pace in this race, blah, blah. And then before you know it, they go off and they go hell for leather. You know, oh, well, where's that come from? And then something comes. So I don't take too much notice of that. And I'm going to stick with him, Sleeping Lion. Right? I mean, I obviously handicapped this stay in races for Racing Post ratings. And when he won this race 2 years ago, I mean, I gave him a really big mark, I think 110 at RPR. He was so impressive in the way he won it, and he looked like he might go on to make a group stayer. I've had to revise that rating down since because the race didn't work out very well, and he, as it turns out, he was probably the only one who was like bang up for it on the day. So that came down to 107. But he's since proved that he can run to that level because he was run off 107 when he was behind Bandinelli over the course and distance last season, and then of course two seasons ago, and then last season he won back over the course and distance. He absolutely loves Kempton. And again, it's just at this time of year, you're looking, I think, for horses that have been laid out for these early season races. And yeah. Sleeping Lion is very, very much a horse who doesn't take much racing. He does all of his best races at Kempton. And you just look at him and you think, well, if he's going to win a race this season, it is probably going to be this one, because he ain't going to get many more runs than one, two or three runs in. And he has to be fully wound up for the race. So I'll take a chance on him just on that fact alone.
Thank you very much, G-Rod. Right, we've got all the rest of Saturday, some great racing on Sunday, the Tote Fantasy team and the Naps coming right up.
Stay ahead of the field with Racing Post Members Club, featuring unlimited access to the Racing Post digital newspaper, exclusive online content, replays from all UK and Irish racecourses, and more. If you're a new customer, you can use the code POST22 to get 50% off your first 3 months of Members Club Ultimate. Head to racingpost.com/postcast to find out more.
Welcome back to the third and final part of the postcast from the Racing Post, brought to you by Tote Fantasy. I'm Bruce Millington, and joining me to bring you all the non-TV winners, hopefully, are Richard Birch and Graham Rodway, plus Tote Fantasy Jamie Benson. We'll start with you, G-Rod. What have you got for us on Saturday first?
Yeah, well, we'll go on to Chelmsford after, because, of course, this is one of Chelmsford's great evenings, isn't it? But we'll start off with Donnie in the 410, the Doncaster Mile. Simon and Ed Crisford have got Poker Face. This also looks like a real good horse. I mean, he's won 3 out of 3 and bolted up by nearly 9 lengths on easy ground at the end of last season. He's by Fastnet Rock, a lot of those like testing conditions. We saw Simon Ed Crisford, they got that Algiers, didn't they? Almost won the Dubai World Cup last week. I just think that this horse is going to be in a class of his own in the 410 at Donny. You could have got a 15-8, but he's being smashed up already. So he's the best bet away from ITV at Donny. But then, of course, we go on. So everyone will be waiting for Chelmsford, of course, in the evening, where they have got the Woodford Reserve Cardinal Condition Stakes, which is the road to the Kentucky Derby. So you can actually see some Kentucky Derby horses down the road from me at Chelmsford this weekend.
A 50-grand race, G-Rod.
It's an absolutely fantastic race. Yeah, with a bunch of three-year-olds in there with ones by their name. I would have loved to have given the listeners a win, the winner of one of Chelmsford's great races of the whole season, but it's such a good race. I just could not choose between them. Bold Act, I thought, was the one who, if you were going to have a definite bet in the race, would be most likely. But I could see any of them winning, to be honest, Bruce. And I hope one of them goes on to win the Kentucky Derby after running at Chelmsford. How superb would
that be?
Will you be
in attendance, G-Rod?
Oh, I would love to go. Yeah, I would love to go tomorrow night, but I just can't make tomorrow night. But, I would urge anyone who's in the Essex region to go to Chelmsford, because you're not going to see many better races than that one. You know, proper Kentucky Derby auto centre. Anyway, and I have got one for you on the card.
Okay.
Very, very, very strong on this one. I'm torn between this and another for my nap, but I'll give you it now. It's a 6:30.
No, is this your nap?
I haven't decided yet. It's either this one or another.
It is this one, you have to save it.
All right, I'll go for the other one then. And this bird steals it. We'll go for the 6:30 at Chelmsford. This is the bet of the night, and it looks an absolute plot job by Stuart Williams, who might have been known to do that sort of thing in the past. Papa Stour absolutely loves Chelmsford. All of his best form is at Chelmsford, right? And he had a run there last time, when I think he was just teeing up for this. But if you go back beyond that, I mean, he'd been running at Kempton and Lingfield and Southall and over 6 furlongs and 7 furlongs and all that, right? Forget all that Kempton and Southall and all that malarkey. He's come down like a ridiculous amount in the weights, you know, while they were messing around, taking to places like Kempton and Southall and Lingfield. I mean, this is Mr. Chelmsford Papa Stour. He's come down from 88. He's running off 76. I gave him a spin over the course last time over 7 furlongs. He's had 7 furlongs, 7 furlongs, 6 furlongs, 6 furlongs, 6 furlongs, 6 furlongs, his last 5 runs, right? He's a course and distance winner. Most of his best form's over a mile. This is him back up to a mile for the first time in God knows how long. back at his favourite track off like a ridiculously low mark compared to the best of his ability, sticking a hood on first time, top weight, he's got a class edge. Oh, I mean, this is one of the best bets I've seen at Chelmsford all year, Bruce. Papastour, 6:30.
Brilliant. Never mind Papastour. You are Mr. Chelmsford, G-Rod. That's absolutely brilliant. Your enthusiasm and love for the place shines through, and it's great to see. Burge, what have you got for us, my friend?
Have you ever been to Chelmsford, Bruce?
I went to the first ever meeting there. And I tell you what, they put on a little bit of a spread, and I was wined and dined, and it's some of the best food I've ever had at a race course. It was also potentially the coldest I've ever been at a race course. But, I mean, it's very odd. You're on the inside of the course watching it all come around you. But, no, it was fine. It was good. Yeah, I enjoyed it. Yeah, it's something a bit different. Have you been, Birchie?
No, I should go. I'll put it on my bucket list. I should go, yeah.
Well, I mean...
Always welcome, Birchie. Always welcome.
Well, do Madness still play there in the summer, G-Rod?
Well, this summer we've got Bananarama playing there.
Oh, I'm coming, definitely.
That's
absolutely.
Sort of,
put me down.
That'd be great, wouldn't it?
Yeah, fantastic. We should have a postcast night out. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we're done. Right, come on then, Birchie, give us some more winners.
Right, I'm going to Uttoxeter, Saturday 2:10, Tonto Foley. Put him up in my Racing and Football Outlook column at the beginning of the week. And when you're tipping for a weekend, when you're tipping sort of 5 or 6 days in advance, you're sort of basically second guessing everything, what you want to happen, and you're hoping things come right. With this horse, everything's come right. I wanted quite a big field. I wanted him to be near the foot of the weights. I wanted him to have an apprentice on, conditional on, taking off 5 or 7 pounds. Everything's happened. He'll like the ground. It's going to be heavy there. I say he's got a low weight. He showed a lot of promise on his first run in a handicap at Newcastle. I think it was on Ida Chase Day. He was just a bit too keen early on, and that told late on. If he settles better in this bigger field, I think he's going to take a hell of a lot of beating. He's only rated 77, and I'd be amazed if he's not a 100 horse in a year's time.
Tonto Foley, brilliant. Anything else Saturday, Birchie?
Nothing caught my eye Saturday.
That's Jamie Christian Williams changed slowly. Yeah, I mean, I was just quickly. I was on a show with Christian Williams the day before that ran at Ayr last time, and he was very, very keen on how good that horse was. So I just back up.
There you go then.
Unfortunately, the horse was a bit too keen by the sound of it.
He was too keen.
Jamie, what have you got for us on Saturday? Anything else, my friend?
Nothing on Saturday. I've got a few on Sunday. Main thing on Saturday.
Let's do it with you for that then. Let me just preface it. We've got the second day of the Doncaster Lincoln meeting. Ascot have got some really good jumps racing, and there are some classic prospects on show at Leopardstown. So what else on Sunday, Jamie?
So 3:35 at Ascot. Dolos, I think, will make this market. But I'm going to go against him with a Northern Raider in the form of Corrigan Rock, running second time after a wind-up. Soft ground, 2 miles, should be right up his strata. He'll be staying all the way to the line, and I think might go underestimated in the market. And then lastly, 4 o'clock at Downpatrick, the Ulster National. Gotta love it. I'm going with Punitive for Gordon Elliott, who I think in the week he commented that he was a bit gutted he didn't get into the Irish National, so he goes here instead. He's been a bit of a revelation since joining from Henry de Bromheads, and although he was pulled up last time, this test looks right up his street and is probably the class horse in the race. So Punitive in the 4 o'clock at Downpatrick.
Okay, apologies to everyone at Downpatrick. When I teed up what a great Sunday it is, I didn't even get the Ulster National in there. Birchie, have you got one for us Sunday?
Yeah, Ascot 5:20, Clay Rogers, progressive horse, didn't really fulfil its potential at Kelso last time. Weak in the market that day, which surprised me. Stable wasn't in particularly good form at the time. It's absolutely red hot now, the Ollie Murphy stable. Looks like he's on a nice weight. Sean Bowen's on board. Great chance.
Okay, and G-Rod, what have you sussed for Sunday?
Yeah, I just won at Donny. I think that Birchie was spot on about Jack Channon wanting to make a flying start, and he's booked Billy Buick to ride Chairman of the Board in the 3:20 at Doncaster on Sunday. He's coming in fresh after not running since last August. Likes soft ground, and I thought that he had a good chance. Chairman of the Ball, 3:20, Donny Sunday under Buick.
Okay, and the highlight, if you're looking for class and classic clues on Sunday, 3:45 at Leopardstown, it's the PW McGrath Memorial Ballysack Stakes over a mile and two, featuring obviously loads and loads of Aidan. Well, I say loads of Aidan O'Brien horse. He's got three of the seven runners, but all eyes will be in on Alexandropoulos, who is currently 16-1 joint second favourite, won a Galway maiden in good style last year. So keep an eye on that one. Loads of great racing on Sunday. What a brilliant weekend. Right then, this is going to be a challenge, Jamie. The Tote Fantasy team. Don't forget, if you want to play Tote Fantasy, really good fun. £7 to play. You go on to tote.co.uk. You look on the right-hand side of the homepage and you'll see something that says Tote Fantasy. Click on that and they will take you through how to play. But the nub of the matter is you have to pick one horse in each of seven races. You've got a budget by each horse, so you've got to try and make sure you don't go over budget, but don't leave yourself under budget because you're leaving money out there on the table. So, Jamie, with all that in mind, and given that these two have, none of you have tipped the same horse at all today, an interesting challenge to try and pick the seven. What have you come up with? What we do at this point, G-Rod and Birchies, we have the draft team from Jamie, and then you're allowed to do a bit of horse training or arguing, and then we finalise it. So what have we got then?
So I've tried to balance between, obviously, between the two lads and, where possible, siding with the slightly more expensive one, just because we do have so much budget to play with this week, because it's the racing is so wide open. Also, the other thing I'd say is this week we're going to be giving away £50 to the winner of the Racing Post Mini League.
Oh, so, nice. Oh, yeah, I forgot about the Mini League. Yeah, you can, when you enter, do the Racing Post Mini League and you can play against the Postcast team. Good fun, that.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it's been quite winnable the past few weeks. So I'd say if you just click the link in the description, join up there, play against us.
Winnable is a very polite way of saying we've been absolutely hopeless.
I was just about to say that.
Yeah. By being in the private league, you can win that little side bit. But you're also entered into the main competition, so you can still win the big jackpot as well. So very much worth doing. But it's wide open, as I say. So I'll ping through it very quickly. We've got the 150 at Donny. We could change this one, but Old Chums at the moment for Birchie, 750 guineas. Mullingar Girl for G-Rod would only be 100, which is extraordinarily cheap of your 10,000 guinea budget. So we can revisit that. 205 Kempton, gone for Terenian C for G-Rod. Bellocchio for Birchie is also 1250. They're both 1250 guineas, so we could swap those.
No, I'm saying we swap that, I'm afraid. G-Rod made a longer case, but Birchie's was very succinct. So
I actually don't mind that.
Okay, yeah. I'm calling
in. I thought Bellocchio had a good chance.
Yeah, I'm calling in chairman's vote there.
Cool. Okay, we might need to swap a few later down because we've now gone not a small bit of the Birchie run, but
don't worry about that. G-Rod's not.
I went with Broken Spear for Birchie mostly because he had Billy the Kid on, so I knew that G-Rod wouldn't mind that.
I like Billy the Kid.
Yeah. So we've then got 240 at Kempton. So we had Stately Home or My Mate Ted, but Stately Home is 1250 guineas versus My Mate Ted at 500. So I did have Stately Home in, but again, we can shift that.
Do we need to shift it, Jamie, or are we all right on budget?
No, we're all right on budget. With Stately, uh-huh. That's why I included Stately Home, because he was more expensive. Uh-huh. But if we fancied My Mate Ted just in a straight match bet, effectively, then we could swap that out. But I'll ping through the rest quickly. And then we've got 3 o'clock Donny Asjad at 1250 guineas. Then we've got 315 Kempton. I've got Aztec Empire in because it's 2,500 guineas, so might as well use that budget. And then in the Lincoln, I've gone for My Shout of Bo Pedro at the moment, but we could go for Majestic also or Revich. If we wanted to really have the crack.
No, we'll go with you, Jamie. We'll go with you. That sounds fine. I've got no problem with that at all. So we make that change so we get Birchie's Fancy in the Kempton race, yeah?
Yeah, so we've got Bellocchio in instead. And then who do we fancy as you say, the Henrik Larsson, the stable star, who scores you double points?
But it's got to be that five at Kempton, isn't it, basically? What's it called?
Aztec Empire?
I think so, yeah. Don't you, lads? I think we need to go sensible with our Henrik Larsson.
Yeah, can we have Asjad as the stewards then?
Yeah, 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 yeah. So with the stewards inquiry, so the Henrik Larsson is your stable star, that gets you double points. And then with the stewards inquiry, if they finish second, they get promoted to first. If they finish fourth, they get promoted to third, etc. So yeah, that seems to make sense. Right then, we've got our seven. Just take us through it again, Jamie.
So 150 Donny, Old Chums, 205 Kempton, Bellocchio, 225 Donny, Broken Spear, 240 Kempton, Stately Home, 3 o'clock Donny, Asjad with the Stewards Inquiry on, 315 Kempton, Aztec Empire with our stable staff for double points. And then lastly, 335 Donny, the Lincoln, Beau Pedro.
Lovely stuff. Go on to tote.co.uk and click Tote Fancy. £7 of fun, and you could win a nice few quid. Plus, if you enter the postcast, the Racing Post competition, the mini league, you can win 50 quid as well. Just some sad news just coming up on racingpost.com before we go. John Spearing dies aged 82. Bertie, you and I have been in the game a long, long time, and John Spearing's been a constant name on the race cards down that time. He had some good horses, didn't he? Run and Skip and a few others.
Run and Skip was the one back in the 80s, yeah. But he was equally as good on the flat as well as over jumps. That horse that sort of made my year last year, It's How We Roll. He trained that horse. So obviously very sad, but he'd clearly been ill for quite some time.
Absolutely. Commiserations to John Spearing's family. Right then, let's get the naps. If you're only backing one horse this weekend, what would it be? We'll start with Jamie Benson.
I'm going to be a sensible sausage like I am and nap one up in the Lincoln and go with Beau Pedro.
Jolly good. Richard Birch, who's your nap?
Broken Spear, each way, 225, Donny.
Thank you. And Graham Rodway.
I'm going to go with Asjad in the 3 o'clock at Doncaster. Can I have an MB on the Papastour in the 6:30 at Chelmsford?
Yeah, I think your enthusiasm for that one shone through. Lovely stuff. Thank you very much to Birchie. Lovely to have you on the show, my friend. Hope you can come back soon. G-Rod, always a pleasure. And Jamie, likewise. Thank you very much for trying to pull a fantasy team, Tote Fantasy team together out of that hodgepodge of selections. Thanks, as always, to our lovely producer, Sam Hart. We're back next week for some more great racing over Easter, including the Fairy House Jumps Extravaganza, and then the week after that, of course, it's Grand National. So I hope you can join us for those. Have a great weekend and enjoy your betting.